Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for your ROH and TNA post-show. It is Thursday, November 14th, and we've got a lot to talk about. Joel and Cresta are going to be joining you to talk all about TNA, the exit of Speedball Mike Bailey being broken earlier today. Sean Ross Sapp right here at Fightful confirming that Speedball is headed to AEW, it sounds like, based on who Sean has spoken to that broke on Fightful Select just a few hours ago. Could mean huge things for AEW. Could mean huge things, honestly, for the brand we're talking about. I could see Speedball fitting in very, very well on ROH. But so much more to talk about with this ROH brand for me and SP3, not only with tonight's episode, but rumors of a TV deal. The return to Hammerstein Ballroom, also broken by Fightful Select earlier this week. Andrew Zarian and Sean tag teaming that story. Zarian has been so wonderful on Beyond the Bell on Tuesday mornings. If you ever have a chance to check that out, I strongly recommend you do. He does a great job there, and he's always got really great insight on higher level things, from TV deals to more company-wide stuff than necessarily week to week or nitty gritty. Great analysis on those too, but a lot of value in kind of what he gives us there. But we're going to ask you to leave a thumbs up on this video. It helps people find us in the algorithm. This show needs love, if you could give it to us. It's the little show that could. This is not necessarily the world's most popular wrestling brand, so it helps when people are seeking us out if you could help them find us by leaving a thumbs up on this video. We will also remind you to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. I see the numbers going up as we are live. I know I kind of told you two scoops there, but that ROH scoop returning to Hammerstein, that Mike Bailey news, you know, I think he was probably going to be one of the hottest free agents that was available, really. He had such a successful TNA run. He's such an outstanding talent. I loved a lot of the work he was doing in New Japan. So some really, really good stuff. Matthew Hook saying Speedball to ROH, also bring Veda Scott in. I would not be mad about that. We need women's voices on commentary, and she is kind of the leader in the clubhouse on that. She also, I know you follow New Japan and New Japan Strong, SP3. Like, I feel like her and Ian have incredible chemistry anytime I hear the two of them together. So Veda, in general, a tremendous asset as well. But with Ian specifically, I love their pairing. But we're going to dig into all of that and more. Before we even get into this episode, we've got SP3 here back in his home environment, back in New York. And we're going to be talking about a New York venue momentarily. But welcome back to the East Coast. It just feels right having you back here. I can't tell you how or why, but something just clicked in me. I was like, SP3's home. The East Coast feels better and brighter now that we got him back. So welcome back. How are you feeling? How's the jet lag? How are you doing?
I'm still recovering of the jet lag. I felt very lazy with my week after hearing what Sean and Andrew Zarian have been breaking. I'll be like, I'm not working hard enough. These guys are always working. I'm trying to get back to the right time zone that I am. But I'm very ready to talk about Ring of Honor tonight, more so like all the news that surrounds Ring of Honor, because I agree with you. I think that Speedball Mike Bailey is probably something we should discuss, because I think that if he does come to AEW, he's got to make at least a pay-per-view appearance for a Ring of Honor show. That kind of just fits the bill with him. So we got to talk about that. Got to talk about my home away from home, my favorite place to go see professional wrestling in New York City, the Hammerstein Ballroom. Yes, even more than Madison Square Garden, just two blocks away. I love going to Hammerstein Ballroom more than any place else. So very excited about that, with Ring of Honor and AEW possibly going to Hammerstein Ballroom. I guess they saw that NXT episode from the ECW arena. It was like, you know what? Now is the time. But yes, I'm ready to talk some ROH.
I do see over 1,100 of you now watching as opposed to the beginning of the show. So sorry for the redundancy and the reminders that we're going to ask you for. But get in those super chats. We've got a lot to talk about. Leave a thumbs up on this video. Fightful Select, let's start with this. Breaking the news earlier this week via Andrew Zarian and Sean about Hammerstein Ballroom SP3. We talk about it all the time on this show, because so many of your specific ROH memories are at Hammerstein. The first time I ever met you in person was at Hammerstein Ballroom for GCW. Really special venue with wrestling history, specifically with ROH history. So many of the historic feuds that AEW was kind of built on talent-wise. Danielson and Nigel certainly is something that immediately comes to mind in that venue. You know better than anyone. You were there for more shows for ROH than I was. What does this return home mean to you? Do I get to see you there? Are we going to go together? Is the post-show going to be delayed because you and I are going to be there? Let's hope so. Let's talk about what it means for ROH to return to Hammerstein, something certainly that we're rooting for as West Coasters, but something I think, or as East Coasters, excuse me, but something that I think everybody's been kind of rooting for, because it's so integral to the ROH history.
Yeah, I think that ROH, my love of ROH wouldn't have grown to the heights that it did in the late 2000s into the 2010s without going to the Hammerstein Ballroom. The Hammerstein Ballroom really became the kind of home away from home. You know, ROH was kind of built and created in the same place as ECW in Philadelphia at the Murphy Rec Center. You hear it in all the Jay Briscoe promos from like the 2010s. It started on the Murphy Rec. But after kind of Murphy Rec and some places around the world, I think the Hammerstein Ballroom around 2006 was around the time that it really became the home of a lot of big moments in ROH history, whether it be Kenta versus Bryan Danielson, or I was there live for my first independent show that I ever went to, which was Final Battle 2006, which saw Homicide, kind of a ROH original, finally win the Ring of Honor World Championship, ending the historic reign of Bryan Danielson. A lot of the big moments for Nigel McGuinness and his character arc as Ring of Honor World Champion, from a very popular babyface that the crowd got behind to win the title, to being hated because he had to take a night off after almost getting concussed and his head busted open by Austin Aries, and the crowd turned on him in New York, and it just kind of translated to all the rest of the places that ROH went to, and Nigel became the number one heel. All the stuff with Kevin Steen and like really yes. What skyrocketed his popularity. A lot of it happened in the Hammerstein Ballroom, whether it be El Generico beating him in the Fight Without Honor at Final Battle 2010, or whether it be him returning at Best in the World 2011. I was there, and my good friend G Loke always talks about his favorite memory of going to a wrestling event is being in the balcony and Kevin Steen almost pushing him off the balcony because he was trying to get through. Then he talks about that still to this day, more than a decade later. That's how these iconic moments that you remember as a fan, that you remember if you've been following the promotion, Hammerstein Ballroom is so connected to ROH and its history. history that ROH, to me, under Tony Khan, has not felt like ROH because he hasn't gone to any of the ROH kind of staple places. And he might not be able to go to 2300 Arena, depending on relationships and everything like that. That was another one in like the 2010s that became a mainstay place. But you can go to the Hammerstein Ballroom. The Hammerstein Ballroom is doing a show with GCW, so it's open. It's open, so why not do a show? Why not do an AEW Collision in the Hammerstein Ballroom? And if that goes well, maybe eventually an AEW Dynamite. Why not bring Ring of Honor, which is so important to with the Hammerstein Ballroom and that connection? Why not bring a pay-per-view there? And especially Final Battle. Like, Final Battle, it was like always the tradition. I would have friends that would go to every event at the Hammerstein Ballroom in a year, but no matter what, even if they missed a couple of other events, they would always go to Final Battle because they knew Final Battle would be in New York at the Hammerstein Ballroom. Like, it, you didn't even need them to announce it. That's what they were always going to in December, Hammerstein Ballroom. So it feels appropriate with them bringing it back for Final Battle this year.
It definitely does. Maybe SP3 and I'll get a post-show live somewhere. Maybe there'll be a McDonald's around the corner that we're broadcasting from or something like that. But I'm so excited about what this means. And to your point, there are politics that come into play if you're not familiar with certain venues. Like, if you're nerdy enough to be watching a wrestling podcast, you're probably aware of things like this. But at the same time, like, you know, part of why they ran Arthur Ashe, to my knowledge, is because they can't run MSG because the relationship with MSG and WWE, I don't know if it's contract exclusivity or just unspoken or whatever, but those are very, very real things. So for them to kind of get that stakehold back on Hammerstein Ballroom, I agree, running a Collision is a great idea, because I think for a long time we've been saying, I would much rather see a packed out smaller venue than a half empty bigger venue, right? I would rather see kind of these places have some juice behind them and be filled to the brim. The environment's so different. It's different live as well. Those live energies of a really packed venue are very fun. And we say it time over time that two things with ROH, whenever they're in a studio setting or whenever there's a pay-per-view, it feels different because fans are there to see the ROH product. It's not AEW Collision leftovers, or I'm just going to say it, they're not fluffers for the Collision, right? Like, I think what you want to see is that rabid fan base. And ROH really has one when you allow that to shine through. And I feel like we're going to see that at Hammerstein. And I feel like bringing AEW to an environment like that is going to be so fun. And Hammerstein's not a small venue. Don't get me wrong on that. Like, for a weekly TV taping, that's a good size venue. An AEW pay-per-view, they're running Stadia now. Like, we shouldn't be talking a pay-per-view there, yeah. But a Collision, a Dynamite all day, so I'm here for that. But another piece of breaking news that came earlier today on FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business, Speedball Mike Bailey's contract up with TNA, believed to be November 1st. Also, the follow-up report to that, he's going to AEW. Some good stuff. I think probably one of the hottest free agents on the market. I would put him up there with like a Dijak or whoever, as far as people I was expecting big things from. Kind of surprised New Japan didn't sneak in and steal him as one of theirs a bit, with all the work he's done there, with all the kind of support they could use as they continue to kind of move on from this Okada and Will Ospreay era into something else. But a huge gap for AEW. We're here to talk about ROH, but I could very much see him sliding into the ROH product. I could see him being a TV champion. I could see him floating between brands as they've been inclined to do. It's not my favorite way to go about things, but could certainly see him sliding in that. I mean, there's so many people he's already faced that have had great matches with him. So many more to face on this AEW ROH roster. Who in ROH specifically would you like to see him face? We've been talking about how thin this men's singles division is for a long time, SP3.
Yeah, it's been very, very thin for the Ring of Honor men's division. So I think that someone like a Speedball Mike Bailey is exactly the type of talent that you need. That he could be a guy that I wouldn't mind was floating around from Ring of Honor to AEW, only because I know he could do it. Because I've seen him float around for the past, what has it been, 2 years? Being from GCW, TNA, I see New West Japan. Coast Pro, New Japan's got him. Like, he's been all over the place, and he's quickly become one of my favorite wrestlers in the world. I've been able to interview him and tell him that because he just got this exciting style. And if there was like a prototypical, you make an AEW wrestler in a factory, and out would come Speedball Mike Bailey. That is kind of like Speedball Mike Bailey is the exact person that would fit in well in an AEW and would be able to stand out. And if all of his work throughout all the independents and everywhere else didn't get him the job, then his matchup with Konosuke Takeshita at Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling is probably the big factor in all of this. If you just line up the timing of everything, because when you go out there and you put on like an instant classic with someone that works in the company, that's going to get, Tony Khan's attention. We saw that earlier with the kind of the flirting that's been going on with Michael Oku in AEW. Michael Oku has a match of the year candidate with Will Ospreay. Now he's on Tony Khan's radar. That's kind of how this worked. And I think that if he already wasn't at a top priority to them, I know they knew he was going to be a top priority for WWE after seeing that type of matchup that he's had and all the other great matchups, whether it's being against Vikingo, Leon Slater. I watched the match that me and Kate were both a little perturbed about the result. It was Moose's, one of Moose's best matches of his damn career. It was great. I watched it and I was like, you know what? I ain't mad. It was that great of a match. I was like, I can't be mad. And they put him over. Had Moose hit him with like 1,400 spears. So they put him over in the end as well. So they didn't let him go out like a chump either. So I like this move for Speedball. I think it's a positive direction for his career. And for TNA, they got to find that next guy. Because I've said it a million times about Speedball Mike Bailey. He was the most reliable guy on their roster that could give them a banger or an instant classic, a show stealer, every single show out. They put him in there with Vikingo. You put him in there with a young guy like Leon Slater. You put him in there with a veteran like Mustafa Ali. Some of the best matches of the year from TNA have been with Speedball Mike Bailey. So now it's up to TNA to find that next guy. And, you know, they got guys like Josh Alexander, guys like Steve Macklin, who are going to be a part of, like, the core of how you build this company. Masha Slamovich is there as well. But a guy like Speedball Mike Bailey that can always be counted on to deliver that style of matchup. And he's going into a company that has, like, three or four of those guys, like a Will Ospreay, a Swerve Strickland, a Hangman Adam Page. I could say the same thing about any of those guys.
Sure.
They could be counted on to have that banger, that show stealer on your card. So it's crazy the roster that he's going to go into. I would love to see him against like a Lee Johnson, him and Commander. You give them like 20 minutes on a Ring of Honor show, we call it me and Kate will be up here calling it the best Ring of Honor show we've ever seen. Because Commander, he has bangers in him. We saw that with Kyle
Boy,
Fletcher.
Did we.
Put him in there. Boy, with Speedball. Come on. That's a banger right there. That's the best Ring of Honor match of the year. I'm saying it before it even happens. So, yes, I'm excited for anyone Speedball Mike Bailey can face that is currently under contract with Tony Khan, whether it be Ring of Honor, AEW, and so forth.
You know, and not even just with Tony Khan, part of the beauty of the AEW ecosystem, that ability to work openly. Everybody who watches any of my content knows what a ZSJ stand I am. That match with Speedball and Zach at the New Japan Strong event, I think, was one of my favorites of his TV title reign. I go back and watch that match as a comfort match. And to your point, Mike Bailey can give you classics with everyone because of his versatility. He can work with a guy like Moose. He can work with a guy like Zach. He can work with a guy like Commander. Not everybody can. Like, some people have their wheelhouses and they can really only play to certain strengths. Mike Bailey can give you great matches about just about anyone. But we are talking about ROH. We're talking about Speedball Mike Bailey. I said 1,100 of you were watching before. Now 2,100 of you are watching. So couple of reminders to leave a thumbs up on this video. We're talking about some of the news that broke on Fightful Select with ROH returning to Hammerstein. We discussed that a little bit earlier, but not Fightful Select news yet. But there are rumors circulating that ROH is in line for a TV deal. We briefly touched on this because it would be so monumental for the product. We've been complaining about creative inconsistency. We've been begging for roster clarity. All of these things that I'm hoping would come with a TV deal. Certainly a dedicated creative team would. I would be surprised if it didn't have its own taping schedule, if it had its own TV deal, maybe a stationary location. You know, this new TV deal doesn't have exclusivity in it anymore. So if they wanted to bring back AEW Dark, maybe instead of doing Dark Elevation in one location, you kind of do ROH in one location instead. More TV means expanded budgets for things, which means your roster would probably be a little less thin. You wouldn't have to be sharing with AEW. And this product at its best has always been when they were off the road, that Texas residency, when they were in Orlando. Like, these moments are when we get the most invested because they're forced to plan, and it's not Collision sloppy seconds, and it's not them having great, great, great matches on ROH and then turning around to job on Collision the next week, which has been so frustrating. So a TV deal, I feel like, would be not just a step in the right direction, but I think a leap. Your thoughts on that? I'm so intrigued to see what happens there. And do you think we collapse ROH into HBO Max? Like, the watch ROH features? It does seem like we're getting more original content on that front too.
Yeah, I think that's the best move for an AEW, because AEW, yes, it has plenty of back catalog, and you know, their library is extensive with all the episodes of Dynamite, all the episodes of Collision, Rampage, and their pay-per-views. That's a great library within itself. But then when you add a company that's been around for 20 years on top of that, that just increases the value, where they can now make a deal that is probably going to be a little bit more than even like what NXT and CW did. I think they did around like $20 million for
25, their deal. I think, yeah.
Yeah, 20 to $25 million.
And by the way, they got hosed because they're pulling like $800,000 a week. So.
Yes, yes. I was like, hey, this is a great deal for NXT and sure. WWE. That's why they're the best in the business. But if they could get something that's at least close to that, because they got the tape library involved as well. Like, you could sell the tape library as well as a weekly show. So I think that it's a great opportunity for them. Hopefully it means that, yes, Tony Khan says, you know what, I'm going to give this to somebody else, or this team is going to be in control of Ring of Honor. Because as we've seen, I don't think he can stretch himself this thin. No, it has not worked out for any wrestling promoter ever who did too much. Paul Heyman, Eric Bischoff, Vince McMahon. Like, those are the ones that we've lived through and we've seen. And when they do too much, that is when the product suffers. And I feel like we're getting close to that with Tony Khan. So I would hope that with Ring of Honor getting a TV deal, that means that he's going to give it off to someone else who can really become dedicated, really become focused. We get some roster, you know, separation. They bring stuff that might not work in an AEW and bring it over to Ring of Honor, like the ranking system. Bring back the rankings. Do it for ROH.
Give me my pure division again.
Wins and losses matter. Like, make ROH like they more sports like. Like, we get it all the time from fans who are criticizing AEW. Like, AEW wants to be too much like New Japan Pro Wrestling. If you do, put it all on Ring of Honor. Make Ring of Honor
the
more sports based. Like, wins and losses matter. People going up the rankings. A loss in a tournament means this. Do more tournaments. You love to do tournaments, and you've been slacking a bit on the amount of tournaments they usually give us. Give us some tournaments in Ring of Honor. The best time in Ring of Honor over the last couple of months outside of the runs in Arlington and stuff like that was the Ring of Honor Women's TV title tournament. Give us more tournaments. Decide number one contenders with tournaments. You see Triple H over here? He's a tournament whore. Like, yeah, he had like three tournaments at once.
He is a tournament perv for sure. That like guy.
We could balance it out. Tony can do a couple in Ring of Honor.
He'll also call anything. It'll be like, it'll be two rounds deep, and he'll be like, it's a tournament. I'm like, we're stretching what a tournament means.
It's literally qualifying matches for
a it's just qualifying.
It's been like that twice. He did. He called it a tournament, but all it really was a qualifying match for a Fatal 4-Way. And then he did a tag team tournament that was all just qualifying matches for a triple threat. So I was just like, that's not a tournament.
Those are qualifiers. Yeah. Agreed. But I'm totally with you. I think there's a chance to give ROH a distinct personality again, let it thrive into what its history has always set it up to be. And I also think we know, and I don't know if this is going to be under the Warner umbrella or not, but we know that Max content was a big priority in this AEW deal. ROH is right there if they want more of it, right? You have this library. You have all these original shows now coming out on watchroh.com. You have a library already built, too. That's the other beauty of this. You can copy and paste it. I don't know if they've gone back and re-recorded commentary from those early days. We've talked about how, like, just racism, misogyny, like, very much in that era of wrestling was so rampant, and the commentary is alarming on some of that earlier stuff, so they're probably not going to want to import that, but having Ian and Caprice doing these lookbacks is a really fun way to go. You could just have them go over some of this, so I think there's a lot of potential with this, but guys, we're going to dive into this episode of ROH, getting your super chats like Meet Normus does, saying, here's a small sack of monies for distracting me while watching football. As the old lady in Wendy's ad asked, where's the beef? Beef did an interview with my friends at the Shining Wizards podcast this past week. I would encourage you to go check that out. But, you know, he's worried about his family tree right now. He's worried about his cousins. So not on this episode, but we're gonna see him in action sooner than later, I'm sure. But thank you for your super chat. I hope your football is treating you well. We have Feeling Dreepy saying, the Righteous need to win the tag team championships before everyone only sees them as talk. Sign Viva Van, sign Veda Scott. Veda, we kind of talked about earlier, if you're kind of just joining us, we were talking about Speedball Mike Bailey, as reported by FightfulSelect.com, going to AEW. Veda, if they want to come over as a package deal, I think would be so, so excellent. And it was very nice to see. I think two of the hottest women's free agents right now are probably Hyann and Viva Van. Very nice to see them both on this episode. I would love to see them sign to ROH. This women's roster is thriving for sure. But let's dive in. Keep those super chats coming. We thank you so much for your support. I'm sure the TNA post show is going to be talking more about the loss of Mike Bailey and what that means to the TNA product, as we're talking here about the potential upside of him folding into ROH.
We won the Speedball Cheesesteaks.
Suck it, Joel. We're going to make fun of you in the handoff. We do start with Ian and Caprice welcoming us and moving on to this four-way tag match between the Undisputed Kingdom, who beat the Grizzled Young Vets, the Dark Order, and the Gates of Agony. Commentary doing a great job breaking my heart, reminding me that GYV beat TMDK. Thanks a lot for that. Very, very good match, though. This was really a nice mix of styles, man. Khan and Toa Leona, like, they feel a little lost in the shuffle right now, and they need to not be, because they are something special. I can't remember if they're in World Tag League. I don't remember.
No.
They're not this year, right? Okay. Yeah. They should be on a track of something special, since Brian Cage is off doing something on his own. They're just too good to be sitting around. Like, they, as other people's punishers, is a great move. Like, I don't mind them being back up for someone else. But, like, they have a special sauce to them that I don't want them to get lost in the mix here. Especially Toa Leona is, like, absurdly smooth for his size. And I feel like doesn't get enough credit for that. But the Undisputed Kingdom staying looking strong here. Nice to see GYV around this brand, too. I would like to see some more of them getting booked here, because they're not really clicking on Collision. The booking has been really bad for them, quite frankly. It's been... saying atrocious about wrestling feels dramatic, but if we're looking just through a lens, like, the idea that the Outrunners are headed into this four pack at the pay-per-view and GYV are just, like, losing constantly makes no sense to me. But this was a fun four pack to open the show. What were your thoughts on what we got here?
Yeah, I agree with most of what you said about GYV. I was doing predictions for Fighting Spirit Unleashed last week, and everybody I talked to was like, oh, I'm not picking GYV. They're booked like trash in AEW and ROH. Why should I pick them here? And I was like, they're probably going to win, because they want to take all the titles off of TMDK. And I was right. I was right in the end. Yeah, just broke Kate's heart again. Sorry. But yes, GYV, they need to be booked better. You can't have a team make their big re-debut with the company at your biggest event of the year, All In, calling out the tag team champions, and then they never even get a shot at the tag team titles? Like, what was the follow-up to that? The follow-up to that was a mini-feud with FTR that ended, like, 3 weeks after it started? Like, what? What are we doing?
Bad for them because it feels like they walked into the middle of a tag division reset and whatever the initial plans were have now been thrown around. But you're completely right in that they debuted in their home country in the world title picture or tag team title picture. And it feels like they've been completely lost in the shuffle. Them showing up on ROH just to lose feels kind of weird. But if they're starting something with the Undisputed Kingdom, that's a series of matches I would be interested in if that's the direction that they choose to go. But Rafael Garcia with the super chat saying, before you completely go off, there are things to be happy about. Weird Al did a cover of Hot to Go. Need Samoa Joe to burn the tree down with feeling. I don't want him anywhere near the learning tree. I know the logical thing.
I want him to forget it.
I know that's the logical thing for him to come back for, but I would much rather him come back and help Hook and we get that trio with Shibata against the patriarchy. I think that's a much better way to go. I don't want him near that shit ever again. I saw that cover of Hot to Go. It delighted me as I think it was him and Will Forte did it, which was awesome. But this is not all bad on tonight's episode. There were some good things. The in-ring was fantastic as usual, but I'm intrigued to see what happens with Undisputed Kingdom. It doesn't feel like they're headed on a collision course with the Sons of Texas, so I don't really know where this goes. I'm assuming this sets up something title adjacent. Do you think we get anything out of this, or was this just a fun four-pack to get us kicked off on this episode?
I think it was a fun four-pack to do. Undisputed Kingdom has been winning more, or whether it be on like Rampage or whether it be here. So I think that it's more of like an overall genuine nudge. We won't call it a push. It's not a full push. It's a nudge for Undisputed Kingdom because either we're going to have them all turn on Adam Cole and kick him out the group, or Kyle O'Reilly and them is all going to come together and they're going to try to do Undisputed Era, like it's the old band getting back together, like they're the OG bloodline for AEW or something like that. I don't know. Either or, but it looks like that's the direction you're going in, so they're giving them a couple of wins. I much rather prefer GYV get the win here because they feel like more the tag team that's going to feud with the Sons of Texas and eventually win the Ring of Honor World Tag Team titles, I would hope, because this is ridiculous at this point. But yeah, that would probably be the team that I would have had won here. But I think this is more for Undisputed Kingdom and whatever the story is with O'Reilly, Cole, MJF, and them.
I agree. That's probably where we're going with this, which just proves even more that this company needs a TV deal because they should not be used to propel a different brand storylines. They're already robbed of their champions. They shouldn't be robbed of the remaining creative that's there. But either way, I was up for this four pack, but SP3, not everybody is as up as I was for this. Some people need a little bit of help getting up. You know what I mean? Yep. Some people need a little assistance. And Sean Ross App is here to tell you all about the best in assisting you getting it up.
My friends, you know we always care about your performance at Fightful. And we want to keep that performance at a main event level. And you can with Blue Chew and the code Fightful. The same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a much more affordable option. Blue Chew is ready whenever you are or whenever you're not. Helps give you that extra motivation. That way you can make sure that your performance is at a championship level. You go online to BlueChew.com, and when approved by our online physicians, you get that confidence. You get that performance. And you get it shipped straight to your door. No awkward conversations with the doctor. No waiting in line at the pharmacy. All that stuff. Use that code Fightful. Get your first shipment free. That's how confident that they are that they're going to make you confident. What do you have to lose? BlueChew.com and the code Fightful.
Anywhere worth going
is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas' best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ohio seniors, it's time to make the right call for better Medicare benefits with Medical Mutual. Plans start at $0 per month and include $0 doctor visits and $0 generic prescription drugs. Visit MedMutual.com/review or call 1-866-966-9338 to find a plan today. MedMutual Advantage plans are HMO, HMO POS, and PPO plans offered by Medical Mutual of Ohio with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in a MedMutual Advantage plan depends on contract renewal.
BlueChew.com. Get it like boners. That's what I said in the chat. Guys, leave a thumbs up on this video. You know, it's really convenient when Sean breaks news that has to do with our broadcast right before we go live. I wish he would do that more. But if you didn't check that out yet, FightfulSelect.com, the Mike Bailey news, that ROH returning to Hammerstein news went up earlier today. So much going on in Fightful Select. We'll take a moment to remind you as well about the Fightful Awards, which you can sponsor for $100 by emailing me at kate@fightful.com. You get exposure to 500,000 followers on social media. You also get 35,000 plus streaming is what we did last year. I imagine that'll be higher because our numbers have grown significantly. But the reason I connect that with FightfulSelect.com is because voting privileges come with your subscription. We keep some of the riffraff out by making that a subscriber-only thing that you can vote. So subscribe there. Hop in the Discord. There was like a pretty open conversation about certain things to do with the Fightful Awards, like How do we keep people from splitting their own votes, right? Like Will Ospreay might not win match of the year because he gets nominated for five different matches and then the sixth one wins because he split his vote, right? So head over to the Fightful Select Discord as well. All the scoops you could ever want like have been going up there all week, but plenty more value behind the paywall. Check it on out. But we move along to the Sons of Texas, Sammy Guevara, defeating Shout Through the Heart, which I love Doug and TJ Crawford, who's excellent, with the go to hell from Sammy Guevara on Crawford. Post-match, the Righteous come down and attack the Sons of Texas, laying out Dustin Rhodes with a cowbell and SP3. You're going to want that cowbell in there. That's all I can think about with the cowbell. It's an SNL sketch from like 15, 20 years ago. All I can think about is Bruce Dickinson. You're going to want that cowbell. And Will Ferrell playing the cowbell with this tiny little cropped shirt on. There's going to be so many younger people watching that don't understand what the hell I'm talking about. But whenever there's a cowbell in wrestling, all I can think about is, fellas, I need more cowbell. But
you do the accent so well, too.
Thank you so much. Years of quoting that sketch in college has probably gotten me to the perfect Christopher Walken talking about the cowbell and that Blue Oyster Cult sketch, which is iconic, honestly. But decent enough match. Went the way that we all knew it would. The inevitabilities on ROH kind of do make the product a little bit more stale, but much easier to handle on a digestible show like today. This did not have a 3-hour run time like we did a couple weeks ago for Halloween. So decent enough here, and I love what we get post-match with the Righteous.
Yeah, I like what they're doing with the Righteous and Dustin and Sammy, and they've proven me wrong. I said like 2 weeks ago, I was like, oh, they'll probably have the match next week. Because that's what I'm so used to. I have PTSD of trying to get invested into a story, and then they just have the match the next week. I think they did that with Angelico and Lee Moriarty. I was like, oh, I'm into this. Next week, we're going to do the match. And then they don't even announce it the week on the show before it. They announce
peace
it
out to the Bills.
Yeah, it's like,
no right, Bills whatsoever.
I'm happy. I'm happy this is the exception to the rule. The Righteous are doing well in their role. I like this attack, and especially, Dutch bringing a little bit of a personal vibe to what would have otherwise been the heels attack the babyfaces before a tag team title feud. He brought some personal, edges to it with his relationship with Dusty Rhodes, with him bringing in the cowbell, sending a message to Dustin. And I like the fact that they didn't do the predictable thing of the babyfaces recover in speedy amount of time to attack the heels later on in the show. The heels had their match. They got the win, and then they were able to talk trash about the attack earlier in the show. This worked to put over the Righteous before their eventual tag team title match.
So this is why you want more cowbell, because it is a nice call to Dustin Rhodes. But let's talk about the promo that we get later. We'll talk about the match that the Righteous had to right now real quick. This was kind of inevitable as well. The Righteous taking on Matt Raymond and Sammy Diaz. With that assisted Green Bay plunge on Raymond. This was nice to see them win a little different than they have before. This was nice to switch it up a little bit. But post-match, we get this fantastic promo. God, Vincent is such a natural talker when they just give him the freaking mic. But he says that they had to force their hand to get things done in ROH and declare that they should have been champions a long time ago. And then Dutch calling out Dustin Rhodes while holding Dusty Rhodes' cowbell, which we saw before. And he says that he spent a lot of time with Dusty 14 years ago, was taken under Dusty Rhodes' wing, and that he saw in Dutch what he never saw in Dustin Rhodes. And I really, really like this. He says that Dustin was the weakest link in the family, which I think is a good call to Cody kind of being a superstar right now. Commentary did a great job talking about the history with Dusty Rhodes as well in both of these matches, really kind of planting the seeds for this promo to show up. Caprice and we talk about it all the time. Absolutely fantastic at their job here. Match was good, did what it needed to do. Nice to see them win with something else than they normally do. But this post-match promo is why we love the Righteous. Like, if they just open the window a crack, we're invested. Like, I feel so invested in the Righteous whenever they're given an opportunity and aren't getting low-blowed by MJF in a handicap match to lose.
Did you bust your mic?
But what did you?
I think you're blind.
Did I? Are we back? Can you hear me?
No, you're good. You're good.
Okay. That's how annoyed I was by that angle. Over a year later, I'm still pissed about it. But I love this through line with the Righteous. I like that we had in-ring build leading to this. I know that seems so fundamental, but we don't always get fundamentals here on ROH. What did you think of kind of this whole through line coming together for this?
I like when they're just invested in telling a story. Like, the whole issue that I had with Dustin Rhodes and Sammy Guevara winning the ROH World Tag Team titles, because there was no story. There really wasn't any story. They just had Sammy come back and save Dustin. Then they
a story. The story was Texas.
We're from Texas.
We're from Texas. And we're in Texas for a residency, huh? Texas.
Sons of Texas, you get it? You get it? Yeah.
Can I interest you in a Von Erich six-man reign, which will never show up on the show?
Before that, before we even get to the Southern Texas, he had the Texas trio together, and they went in championship gold. Oh, man.
The Von Erichs can never travel out of state.
That was all of his creativity was that. But I like the story that they're building here with Dutch and Vincent setting their sights on Sammy and Dustin and then adding a little bit more layers into it. That's what we tend to not get a lot with a lot of these Ring of Honor title feuds. Not a lot of layers are added. And like you said, the Righteous, when they have something to sink their teeth into, they are really damn good. If you kind of leave them directionless or have them talk about whatever they want to talk about, they can come off kind of like Wyatt family-esque. Like, not even the good Wyatt family, but the bad Wyatt family, where you're kind of just gibbering, jabbering about some stuff and we don't know where it's heading towards. This stuff works, though, when they have something that they're aiming towards. They want to get a title shot. We know why. We know why Dutch is targeting Dustin Rhodes because of both of their connections to Dusty Rhodes. It's a question. There's an answer. This makes sense. And it's one of the rare times that we've had this in Ring of Honor in recent months.
Yeah, this is a really, really good way of building investment. And what I love with Vincent too is whenever he's such like a creepy little weirdo going around, right? With his snaps and his look and the vignettes that they have always match like this. There's this innocence that they always seem to make perverted in some way. And I love that because it's a different type of creepy than a lot of what other like spooky stuff is out there. But when he gets a mic in his hand, he's a guy you've met before, which makes like all the kind of dig what I'm saying stuff around him. It pulls you back in a more grounded way. And I really like whenever we get to hear that guy talk, they should do more of it. Absolutely. Meet Norm is asking me, what does Dusty think about Dutch's promo? Now, this is an Alex Pulowski bit. I can't really do the Dusty Rhodes impression the same way he can, if you will. But all my sons are always talking about me on television. I know that much. I know Cody's talking about me. I know Dustin's now talking about me. But I always liked that Dutch, so... That is a Tuesday night carryover gimmick, but I did my best.
Well, you know, that does, he got a lot of plunder inside him, if you will. So I think he's doing very well with his promos. He's on some hard times, Daddy. Some hard times.
Dusty Rhodes getting his due now, I'm okay with, because he didn't get it the first time around. Like, if they want to, like, kind of shove it down our throats maybe more than... With Cody, sometimes it feels very forced. Like, with Cody, it's so... there's time he speaks really sincerely about his dad, and then there's times where it's shoehorned in. Like, he finished the story. We don't have to bring him up all the time anymore. But when you can get a hold of something really sincere like this, it's a really beautiful tribute to someone who... wasn't appreciated enough the first time around. So good stuff there. Good stuff. Yeah.
Great.
We move on to Preston Vance and Griff Garrison defeating Waves and Curls. Nice to see Waves and Curls back, man. They were kind of one of those AEW Dark and Dark Elevation standouts. And they're continuing to do great work, but I am glad to see them keeping momentum going. Like, I love seeing them on my screen. So this was fun. You get a discus lariat from Preston Vance on Jordan. Nice shout outs to Maria Kanellis on commentary here as well. We also wish her our best as she's going through a healing health journey right now. But them alluding to Maria saying that she was the one to bring out the killer instinct in Griff Garrison. I would like to see more of that from Griff Garrison. I feel like I've said this before, he has all the components it takes to make a great wrestler. I just need a little bit more punch behind what he's doing, a little more tenacity, and I think I would buy it a little bit more. I am not yet sold on the duo of Preston Vance and Griff Garrison because it feels like they took two people who aren't really sure who they are as wrestlers fully right now and put them together, and I don't think that's the way to go about business. I think they need... more of a connective tissue between the two of them, and they think they need more assuredness in themselves as individuals before you go throwing them together as a tag team. Maybe they'll prove me wrong. I hope they do. I hope they discover a really fun combination, but just not totally sold on it yet. And on the other side, you have one of the most cohesive acts, I think, in all of wrestling with Waves and Curl. So I was almost like, not that I was rooting for them, but I was kind of rooting for them a little bit. You know what I mean? I don't know if I was rooting for them to win the match, but I'm rooting for them to be on my TV. That's for damn sure. So I don't know if there's a ton to write home about with this match, but what did you think?
Yeah, this was fine for what it was. Preston Vance and Griff Garrison, this is one of those instances on a Ring of Honor matchup where I'm like, this would have benefited from a promo before. A backstage with Lexi Nair, and, you know, Griff Garrison talks about, you know, what he's going to do without Maria Kanellis here right now. And then Preston Vance comes in and he's like, hey, I want to team up with you. Boom. 45 seconds, 1 minute. Not much you had to add to this show if you just would have added that. I think that would have added a little bit more context to what we were seeing instead of it just feeling like, hey, we take these two guys. One, I would have sworn Preston Vance was a babyface when he first came to Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
And Griff Garrison's been a heel for a while now, and you just pair them up together and they get a win. And Preston Vance kind of acted like a heel, I guess. So I'm very much confused by this. But I'm hoping that this is something that they retroactively do the backstage segment, because they tend to do that sometimes as well, where they do the match and then they do the backstage segment that should have came before that first match.
They do that a lot. Shane Monster saying Griff dragging Preston in the heel tunnel. Yeah, kind of feels that way. Kind of feels that way, right? So we'll see how that goes. We'll see how that goes. But next we get what was a short, effective, one of my favorite things on the show was the production of this vignette between the Infantry and Shane Taylor Promotions. Man, this has been all upside, I feel like. The only thing that I'm complaining about is, why is Trisha Dora not wrestling? Like, you have... SP3. It's not like you have a decent women's wrestler. It's not even like you have a really good women's wrestler. You have Trish freaking Adora.
Yep.
Unless she's injured, which if she is, I reserve the right to rescind everything I'm saying. How the hell is she just not in the ring, like, beating bitches up, man? Like, what are we doing? It's Trish Adora! Trish Adora!
This company has so many wrestlers that should be wrestling on a way more consistent basis than they are, and they just don't know how to use them properly. And Trisha Dora, she won't get all the big headlines that a lot of the other people that AEW has kind of fumbled the bag on, but she should be included, especially on the Ring of Honor brand, where she could be valued more. She could be more useful to you. She could be someone you build this division around, or at least build her up with wins so she's a credible challenger for whoever comes out of Athena's title reign, whoever's going to end that, like she needs, because she's going to need new challengers outside of that. She never really even had a rivalry herself with Athena for how long Athena has been champion. She first her in some Proven Ground matchup, never even gave her a Ring of Honor Women's World title match. Like, it's ridiculous. Trisha Dora is way too talented. And the fact that she got with the vibes with the STP almost immediately. It was like, oh, I've been waiting for my boys to catch on board. She was the first one to do the low blow. And then it's just been no, you should have had the tag team matchup with the Infantry last week. And then this week, we should have had Trisha Dora with a matchup, kind of putting her over on her own with Shane Taylor Promotions. I think that would have been the move.
It's hilarious to me that out of an incredibly cool vignette, I loved the production of this. I love the way they recapped it. Like, the thing I took away is, why the hell isn't Trisha Dora wrestling? Like, I lost my... It's Trisha Dora, man. Like, she was already one of the best women's wrestlers in the world. She was already one of the best wrestlers in the world. And then she went to the New Japan Dojo. It got better. I was so loud and obnoxious about it. My dog just came over and was like, girl, you okay? Like, what are we doing? I don't know what we're doing. Daphne, I don't know. I don't know what to tell. Daphne, I don't know. I don't know why Trisha Dora is not on my screen. And I'm sorry that I got loud about it. I don't mean to traumatize you further from your life on the street. But I don't know. I don't know, man. It's so weird. It's so weird to me. Like, even you could have started this angle with Trisha Dora having a meaningful loss and Shane Taylor doing the callback and just, wouldn't even have to say anything, picking her up off the mat and the old school fans going, ah, I know. And then doing that promo where they make that callback. But like, unless she's injured or there's something else going on, take care of your physical, mental, emotional, whatever. But like, the fact that she's not in the ring is inexcusable. Inexcusable. Like, how have we not gotten like a multi-month feud between her and Layla Hirsch? What are we doing? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Griffin Vance is blonde and beefy. I like that. I'll take it.
They should just be a trio when Cole Carter comes back. They probably will be more successful as a six-man tag team than as the Maria's Boys tag team.
I don't know. That feels like three wrestlers who don't know who they are. Kind of, yeah. Like, honestly, and that's what ROH should be room for, is yeah, finding yourself as a wrestler. Like, I say that, and I don't say that lightly. The idea of being a wrestler and finding what makes you unrepeatable is not easy. So when Reg was on here, he would say it all the time, like, man, Cole Carter just looks like Austin Theory from 2018. And he's kind of right.
He is right.
And guess what? Austin Theory from 2018 was probably the best Austin Theory we ever had. So, like, when
I say it right now, Kyle Fletcher looks like Randy Orton from 2004.
Dude, someone called him Randy Norton, and I fell down. Fell down. Shaved head. Kyle Fletcher, Randy Norton. I fell down. But I don't mean to minimize that, because for any artist, and I believe wrestlers are artists, the journey of figuring out who you are is a lot. It is, the question, if somebody asks you, who are you? And you don't say, oh, I'm Kate. Like, okay. And then what? Is like, that becomes something that is all of a sudden very daunting. So when you consider that with a character as a wrestler, what all that means, like, ROH should be the place to figure that out. When you're talking the multi-man picture, I don't think pairing all that together is necessarily the way to go about it, especially with Maria not there right now. Like, if you have someone connecting those pieces for you, I got you. But
that's correct.
We move along to Shibata, who beats Aaron Solo. They mentioned that he went to the New Japan Dojo as well. Love seeing those relationships, especially the educational ones, continuing to thrive. But Shibata winning with the Cobra Twist. I liked this ending. Zack Sabre Jr. ruined the Cobra Twist when it's not in the ropes for me now. That is like, oh, I'm like, yeah, you can do a Cobra Twist on someone, but doing it in the ropes is just like this whole other layer of nasty. So if you can do it in the ropes, do it in the ropes. Why would you choose anything different? But this was a very, very fun. Again, I like it when wrestlers have deep enough arsenals that they can win with a variety of moves, because it makes you feel like the match can be won or lost more often in a match. But this was good. This is just to keep Shibata and the train moving. I need a story for him in ROH that isn't, hey, he held the pure title a couple times. Like, we don't really have anything outside of that. But decent enough match. More Aaron Solo on my screen, please. We need to build up this men's singles division. Your thoughts on this?
Yeah, this was perfectly fine as well. I think that Shibata fits better in Ring of Honor. Like, it's rare that I would say that about someone that I like. I would say, you know, you put all the guys that I like and that are useful on AEW, because that's the main product. But in Ring of Honor, he just feels like a bigger star. He feels like the legend that he should always feel like, that he sometimes doesn't come off as when they use him too often on AEW television. I think the way they use him on Ring of Honor, where he mostly just wins until there's like a title match that he has to drop the title, it seems like he just wins more in Ring of Honor, so he feels like a bigger star there than he does on AEW.
Yeah, this promotion for the wrestler just feels right. There's something really great about that. Cyclops is better than Logan, says, referring back to my Trisha Dora rant, I'm assuming. You asked this from a man in TK that has Jamie Hayter a bona fide star, and he doesn't know what to do with her. TK is just S at booking women minus the Tony May story. I actually disagree with that, because I think the situation right now with Jamie Hayter is, one, she just got back from a very long injury, as did Penelope Ford. These are over a year in recovery. And the other thing with Jamie Hayter, I think she's such a big star that if you're going to be heating her up for title pictures, she should probably be winning. Like, I think that's a real possibility. I don't know if you want Jamie Hayter to come back and the first thing she does is lose a title. I think her getting wins against people like Penelope Ford, I could see her going through a feud with the Vendetta. Like, give me Jamie Hayter versus Deonna Purrazzo 7 days a week and twice on Sundays. Like, please. So I think the thing with Jamie is you want to pick her spots because you want her to be on a track to winning, and you don't want the first thing that she does of note to be to go back and lose. This women's division right now needs faces. We have two heel champions. So keeping your faces protected is something that's going to be important when they're not entering title feuds. How are you feeling about the AEW women's division? I do think it's regressed mightily from All In to where we're at. I think they had a really solid year and they need to get their foot back on the gas with it. But Jamie Hayter specifically, what do you want to see from her?
I want to see Jamie Hayter that these wins in these kind of like lesser or lower card feuds does lead to something, as far as her versus Mariah May or her versus Mercedes Moné, or, you know, despite what's going on or what happened in real life. I'm sorry, Tony Khan, you spent too much time investing in Jamie Hayter versus Britt Baker. You got to give us that match at least once. You got to do it at least once. You got to talk to these people, do your job and talk to these people and get them to do one match together, because you spent too much time building that up to not get anything out of it. But I just want more for Jamie Hayter and a payoff for all of this. As far as the AEW women's division, yes, it's been bad since All In. It felt like we went on a peak from All Out last year to All In. They went on a nice little run of shows and a nice little bit of, you know, everything building up to that big event, whether it be Britt Baker coming back and facing Mercedes Moné or Mariah May and Toni Storm culminating their whole rivalry. But the loss of a timeless Toni Storm, the fact that it doesn't really feel like they had a story for Mariah May outside of, hey, we're just going to have her wait till Mina Shirakawa and Toni Storm are back. That's basically been the story, and just many feuds in between that to kind of keep her going. If they would have had a better plan for her, if Mercedes doesn't get turned heel in New York at Forbidden Door, I don't know how this whole thing would look, because Chris Statlander would probably still be a heel if that never happened. There was a lot of changes in those last couple of months when they culminated everything at All In that has to do with the decline in the AEW women's division. And also, we do have to, you know, state the fact that the presentation and how we look at Mercedes Moné and the AEW women's division overall have been going and trending in the same position, in the same way, since All In. So maybe if you could clean that up with Mercedes Moné and stop making her a Scooby-Doo villain with Camille, maybe we can get some improvement overall as well.
Yeah, the chat mentioning that Willow's injury also messing things up. Yeah, it's fair to say I think that Willow is the heartbeat of that division. I agree with you about Mercedes. I do think that her and Chris Statlander is probably going to be a step in the right direction for what that match is going to give us. I see that being an all-timer. So I'm hopeful they can turn it around. I would be harder on the women's division decline if I didn't feel like there were inconsistencies across the product as a whole. Like, I feel like the women's division has been declining since All In, but I also feel that about the entire product. Like, it feels like the whole product has gotten lost. So it doesn't feel like just the women's division isn't getting enough love. I just feel like they're off base. The C2 was a huge reset last year. I'm hoping it does the same on the men's side. The women's division, I feel like it's actually just a matter of reorganizing some things. They're just so heel heavy. A lot of those work rate women are just heels right now, realistically, like Deonna, Taya, Mercedes, Mariah. There's a lot of heels, and we're just in need of some more baby faces. So I think Jamie Hayter leading into something bigger will be healthy. But we move on to Commander and Josh Woods. My God, Commander defeating Josh Woods for some reason. Josh Woods is another one that I just say, man, if I had Josh Woods on my roster, I would simply elect to make $1 million with them instead of having him lose to the Cilieto Lindo from Commander, as Luis, our Spanish-speaking moderator, gives me the and does wonderful coverage for us, by the way, of ROH, lets me know the actual name of things. So I do appreciate that from him. Commander's great. We saw him have that incredible match with Kyle Fletcher. He can really show out when he's in there with the right opponent. I just don't understand the hesitation on Josh Woods. Like, have him dump the rest of the premier athletes if you need to. I don't know what it is. The technical beast is someone. He's a guy, I'll say it, he should be the guy that's in the C2 that eats a bunch of pins but looks incredible. Like, have him be that guy, because he's freaking ridiculous in the ring. Like, he's so good with a guy like Commander, too. I just don't know. It feels like they don't know what title picture to put him in, so they just instead to have him lose, which is silly. But he looks great. This match was fine. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I always like, I've been liking Commander a bit more than I have in the past. I think that he's on a good stretch of just looking good in the ring. He's not messing up as much, not relying on the rope walk as much as he was in the past. So I like his inclusion. I mean, I feel bad for premier athletes. They're always here. They always do their job. They get heat. The fans always say athletes suck, but they can't even buy a win. They could get a win for 50% off and they still wouldn't have the win. They could pay the money and they still wouldn't have the win. Like, this is ridiculous. These guys just get beat like a drum every single week, no matter what show I'm watching. If I want to make easy money on betonline.ag, I'm betting against the premier athlete.
A fair call. And talented guys, too. And I always think back to the wisdom of Chris Jericho, if I can say it. Ugh! But he did say something that I think is actually really valuable in wrestling, which is if you beat nobody, you beat nobody. Meaning if your opponent has no credibility, a win doesn't mean anything over them. So if you have these guys that look great but lose all the time, it doesn't matter that you beat them, because SP3 and I could tag against them and beat them. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't really mean anything. But Josh Woods, always a standout, guys. Leave a thumbs up on this video. We have the TNA review coming on the back end of this. We had a lot to talk about up front with the return of Hammerstein. We talked about Speedball being at AEW, possibilities of him under the ROH umbrella, and so much more, including a potential TV deal. So stick around for TNA. I'm sure they're going to have a lot to talk about with what Speedball is kind of left behind in his time at TNA and what him moving on means for the product. But we are coming down the home stretch here.
We won the Speedball. Jackpot. We won.
We won the Speedball Powerball is what we won. So I'll take
it. Eat it, Joel. We got Speedball now.
Yeah, Joel. Catching strays before he's even on stream. But we've got Abaddon versus Viva Van in a fun match. Abaddon talking a lot more during this. I liked this from them. This was pretty good stuff, winning with that Black Dahlia. But what I noticed was the enhanced character movement. And I love Caprice and Ian again, right? Saying there's something really uncomfortable about someone that's just talking unhinged to themselves and being in the ring with them, being like, what is this person going to do to me? I thought they did a great job. I love seeing the additional investment from them on the character side, moving better than they ever had in the ring. I think we agreed that match with Athena was their best yet. So good stuff there. Nice to see them continuing to get reps as well. Very happy that they are on my team for TV for more than just spooky season, as was the history there. But any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think this is a record for Abaddon being back on television after spooky season. I think that usually we see Abaddon, we see them for the Halloween season, and then we don't see them again until like the next year, like around September, to build up to spooky season again. So I love the fact that they got Abaddon on the show, and I like the difference in their character and kind of showing a different personality, showing a little bit more confidence in the ring.
Yeah, it feels like that loss meant something, like that they came close enough that they're evolving from what they've learned in the loss. So I dig that, but that does lead into this emergency mem from Minion University here, which I love. They have to talk about the obvious, and I can't disagree. Billy Starks, man, has just been out of line. They're going to meet about her attitude, but Layla Gray interrupts to call her shot. Athena just immediately dismissing her because Athena's been asking for the best challengers in the world, and she says, Top Flight University, that's cute, my little flight attendant. I like that because my initial thought was, love Layla Gray, God bless her. She looks amazing. She's another one that's going to the New Japan Dojo to grow and learn more. But I was like, what the hell business does she have getting a title shot? She does not have any wins on the show. She's mostly a valet on everything else. Looks amazing, fits the part, but she doesn't really have any credibility to stand on with this. But I kind of liked that Athena dismisses her out of pocket, but also is like, well, it'd be kind of an easy win, right? As a heel champion should be thinking along the lines of, don't mind it as an intermittent program to get us to final battle. Billy Starks is obviously kind of the crowning achievement of this entire character arc, right? But any thoughts on our emergency mem that got interrupted by the beautiful, fantastic, and talented Layla Gray?
Yeah, you never interrupt a mem. That's so disrespectful. We're going to have demerits for Layla Gray next week on the show. But this week, this was fine to build up another Proving Ground matchup. I said it last week. I will say it again. We're on the clock. If we're going to do this Billy Starks Athena thing, we gotta get this going. We got a month or so, 5 weeks until final battle. We need to get on the ball with this.
Yeah, and they've been sowing the seeds of dissension. We just need kind of those bigger steps to happen. So I'm with you. They've been doing a good job building up that tension, but let's kind of kick it into the next gear. I think this Layla Gray program might be something that helps push that along. So we'll see. But closing out with our main event before we bring on our very patient TNA crew, we talked a lot. Not related. So we thank them for letting us hang around a couple extra minutes here. But we have this championship street fight between Red Velvet and Diamante. I love this. You have Red Velvet winning with that flipping cutter, which was really cool. Red Velvet's moveset really expanding and her arsenal getting deeper with the weapons that she's able to win with. What I loved was Red Velvet has like the attitude for the street fight. Diamante feels most at home in the street fight. But fun to see Red Velvet kind of expand into this environment. Like, she definitely has the personality for it, but seeing the moveset kind of come along and seeing her in-ring really grow in this way, I thought was a really fun way to end this episode. Nice to see another successful title defense, more than we could say for Billy Stark's inaugural reign, for sure. So good stuff here. Also like Diamante being made to feel important in spots like this. I think it's important that she stays at the top of the card. She's a valuable asset to this product. They took way too long getting her on any track under the AEW umbrella. So I'm glad, but she just is at her best in fights like this. Brought out a really nice side of Red Velvet. What did you think of our main event today?
Just overall, the AEW and ROH females always deliver in a street fight, a Texas death match, any of these hardcore style matches. They just go to another level. And this was a good matchup here. This was definitely probably Red Velvet's best since her title reign started. Her and Diamante were very physical, very aggressive. It had a bit of intensity to it, despite the, you know, it sometimes with these Ring of Honor shows, the crowd isn't that big, but the crowd actually sounded invested who they had left over there into the street fight, and both women delivered into it. I like the focus on the title belt because that was the reason why we had a DQ in the first matchup. So here it was Red Velvet using the championship with her finisher on it to get the victory. Makes all the sense in the world. And I like the fact that they are giving Red Velvet an actual rivalry right out the gate. It feels like they had more attention to detail on Red Velvet, the post-title reign, than they have Mariah May on the main show. So that says a lot in general. So I give it to them for that.
I agree. And the other thing is, SP3, I love what you mentioned, that title belt. Caprice really going into detail about how sharp the title belt is. Talk about the edges of it. But I love that he called attention to the fact, like, all those little details that you see on the title belt, every single one of them is sharp. So he's so good at adding punctuation marks to details like that, where Ian is, I mean, we talk about it every week, he's my favorite play-by-play guy in the game, drastically underrated. But SP3, I got to say, we went to court. We won the custody battle for Speedball Mike Bailey. And now we're going to bring on the parents who lost that custody battle. And Joel and Cresta, who looks great for No Shave Movember. We bring you on here to grieve. I'm sorry you lost custody of Mike Bailey, but, you know, it is what it is. It's time for him to move on. That is kind of realistically something that's been happening with TNA, right? You got, there's a foothold on Stars, and then contract wise, they tend to move on. But your initial thoughts on Speedball, we'll get off of here and let you talk about it more at length. But I mean, just did incredible work in the time that he was there.
You ask a guy to pay rent one time, and this is how he
I mean, I feel like this is the story of TNA. Like you said, we get something really great. We dig it up. It's like, this is fantastic. I love this. I love you. Yes. Can I have some more, mother? Ooh. I'm kidding. I don't know what happened. I'm making that up.
I'll elaborate more later, but this shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. None of any of this should shock anybody. Like, I've been talking about it on various shows for a couple of months now.
Sure.
That he was planning on leaving and that he wasn't going to go to WWE. He had that opportunity, and then Canyon Seaman got fired, and so they didn't move forward with Speedball. And like, you look at what Speedball does outside of TNA, he wants to keep doing that.
Yeah, we talked about the openness of the AEW landscape and all of the success he's had in New Japan. He won that that All-Stars tournament with the Super Juniors last year. Like, he really makes an impression everywhere he goes. But Ryan Lambert saying what a lot of people in the chat have said, sign Veda Scott too. Let's get a women's voice on commentary. We had talked at length at the beginning about Speedball and the possibilities in ROH and Veda and her chemistry with Ian Riccaboni anytime they're on the same desk. So we will get out of here because we are already overdue on throwing this over to you.
Get out of here.
We will. But stick around for the TNA post show. Lots for them to talk about. We're going to finally get out of here. Have a good rest of your night, guys.
Good night.
Bye.
We won Speedball.
That's crazy.
It's all yours.
I love Speedball.
Yeah, it'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.